My job as the Secretary of State is to follow the law. And the law requires my office to test electronic voting equipment used in the state of Colorado to make sure that these systems are secure and can accurately count every vote. As set forth by the standards established in state law and by a recent court order. I had to strictly follow the law along with this court order. If I were too lenient in determining what passes, then I risk having the state taken to court by activist groups who will ask for an injunction on the use of electronic voting for the 2008 election. If I exceed the requirements of the law and of the court order, then I will be sued by the vendors who manufacture and sell this equipment. Under state law, the clerks and the vendors of decertified equipment will have up to 30 days to request a reconsideration of my decision. The legislature as well, when it convenes in January, may also review my decision and could amend the state law that governs the certification process and could state that this equipment, although decertified, is in fact temporarily certified for the 2008 presidential election. On Wednesday and Thursday, I will be, my staff will be meeting with the county clerks and the vendors of the decertified equipment to give them a detailed debriefing of how we arrived at the decision to decertify them. I really carefully reviewed this whole process from what occurred in 2006 along the recertification, how recertification worked, and really sought to strengthen this process and created several new layers, a testing board of four technical experts to make the determination on each and every test, as well as an audit team of technical experts that reviewed all of the tests to ensure that they were appropriate and that the results matched up with the nature of the test. What you see behind you today is an illustration of the amount of effort that went into this process. That there were over 3,000 tests performed on each of the four vendors that do business in the state of Colorado, with over 40,000 pages of documentation per each vendor. In addition, I want to add that we also had the state cybersecurity expert involved in this process. So let me share with you the results. The only vendor to pass with all of their equipment was Premier, which is formerly known as Diebold. Sequoia, their optical scan devices, the Insight and the 400C, used to count paper ballots, both passed, but their electronic voting machines, the Edge 2 and the Edge 2 Plus, did not pass. Both failed due to a variety of risk factors, of security risk factors, including that the system is not password protected, has exposed controls potentially giving voters unauthorized access, and lacks an audit trail to detect security violations. PART, the optical scan devices, the e-scan, and Ballot Now, both failed because test results showed that they could not accurately count the ballots. Their electronic voting machine, the eSlate, did pass. ESNS, the optical scan devices, the M100 and the M650, both failed because of an inability to determine if the devices work correctly and an inability to complete the testing threshold of 10,000 ballots due to vendor programming errors. The electronic voting machine, the iVotronic, failed because it is easily disabled by voters activating the device interface, and the system lacks an audit trail to detect security violations. In the last situation with the iVotronic, I think Ohio has just announced that they came to the same conclusion, that if you, in fact, you were to take a magnet next to the port, if I can remember the term for the port, I'm sorry, the PEV, and that stands for, what does the acronym PEV stand for?
Personalized electronic.
Okay, that if you in fact put a magnet in close proximity or inside the port, they would in fact disable that particular voting machine. And it would have to be literally reprogrammed, which is a fairly lengthy process to bring it back into circulation for that election. So with that, let me walk you through a little bit of what the process will be for the rest of the week. This evening, there will be a meeting with a number of county clerks, and we will have a representative at that meeting where we will talk about the process and where we go from here, in terms of that there is that they will have the debriefings and those are scheduled. That also that they have the ability to appeal in what is called a request for reconsideration that will go directly to me, and that's that can be a fairly expeditious process. They have within 30 days after. Notification after this notification in which to file that appeal. On tomorrow, I will be giving a presentation to a post-recertification legislative task force that I've asked for, that is headed by Senator Gordon and State Representative David Ballmer. And what I will do is, in presenting, is talk about the testing process, talk about the findings in terms of those that equipment that was decertified. I'll certainly give a background of how we got to this point in terms of legislation and the court decision. I will also then discuss the way ahead in terms of options to make sure that we have a presidential election in 2008. That we were able to move forward with that, and I'll certainly go over all those options with them tomorrow. And so then on, as I mentioned, Wednesday and Thursday, will be meetings with the county clerks and the vendors for that technical debriefing, and then certainly they would then have the ability to file the request for reconsideration. Not to preclude, the vendors obviously have the ability, as well as the activist groups, certainly to go to court to try and overturn my decisions. With that, I think let me just say that today I want to just take questions from the media. Certainly, the public interested in the issue will have an opportunity. I believe Senator Gordon is establishing a public hearing. Certainly to hear the concerns, and I certainly will be at that public hearing listening to the comments. There also will be the request for reconsideration will in fact involve a public hearing that we will take comment from individuals at that time should any of the decertified equipment should any of the vendors or the respective county clerks seek to reverse my decision through that appeals process. Yes.
So. You talked about the appeal process. Is there a process where the vendors can mediate
they can do that in the request for reconsideration. Yes? It does.
Okay, so it's not just a presidential election, any election that comes up.
Well, the way the court order was written, that said that this process had to be complete before the next statewide issue was on the ballot or the next primary general election. And obviously, we will have primaries in different parts of the state. So the requirement is to have it done prior to the August election. And so it is. And so this will obviously affect that, the upcoming primary general election. Yes.
How many counties have the Sequoia and ESMS electronic machines? How many did that affect?
Jefferson and Mesa County.
And for Sequoia?
Sequoia would be. Can you give me a list? There's more counties for Sequoia. I know Denver is Sequoia. Pueblo is Sequoia. Who else? Arapahoe and Elbert counties? Okay. Yes.
Will the counties have any remedies to get their money back from the vendors if their equipment's been certified?
The counties were required to have provisions in their contract in the event that their equipment was decertified, that those contracts would be avoided.
You talked in very technical terms. I guess kind of for the folks out there just watching this, kind of bottom line is, what did you find in these machines, and what's wrong with these machines, kind of in a non-technical fashion?
Well, I think to give you, let me give you a couple examples. One example would be that on the optical scan machines, the heart optical scan machines, that what they do is they take a picture of the ballot, and then they interpret that picture. And what we find is there's some accuracy issues in interpreting that. And so there's some problems. And so we found essentially, I think, a 1% error rate, in our test in terms of the accuracy of those 1% problem in terms of an error rate. And so for every 100 ballots that we tested, we found that there was a problem with one of those ballots in terms of reading that picture. I think with the ES&S DRE, just the fact that somebody could create a denial of service, could literally shut down that electronic voting machine if they desired to, by virtue of waving a magnet across the screen. And so I think that is an issue. But again, in all these things, The counties and the vendors will have the ability to come back to me in an expeditious manner and say, you know, we disagree with you, and there's a workaround on this that we believe that we can address your security concern, that we want to challenge you on the accuracy issues. So I certainly the process merits, I think, their ability to come back to me and say, you know, I think we can address these things.
So as you had kind of your opening statement, you had said you are held to a certain standard that you have to enforce. Do you think these standards are too tough? Do you agree with them?
You know, my job is to follow the law. And it is what it is. And so it's up to the General Assembly, should they desire to change the law, and they have the ability to do so. I mean, the General Assembly could say, you know, we're going to review these on a case-by-case basis. And if we think that, and let me tell you, the way the process is written in law is that no system is perfect. And that's why what it allows the Secretary of State to do is to look at the law and look at the test and determine whether or not a particular vendor or a particular system is quote-unquote substantially compliant. In other words, meeting the intent of the law, but again, no system is going to be perfect, and so that's what I had to weigh, what was substantially compliant, and certainly worked closely with the Attorney General's process in doing so, in anticipation of being challenged.
What does this mean for the elections that have been held using this equipment?
as a result of an injunction, a request for an injunction before last year's 2016 November election. What does it mean for the judge that can be used? What does it mean for that election? This equipment, specifically that you said had accuracy issues, was used in that election.
I can only report to you what our findings are. And I think that the voters in those respective counties are going to have to interpret this, in terms of how it applies to their individual situations.
What would you personally like to see the legislature do going forward?
Let me reserve that tomorrow. I think tomorrow we've got a very extensive briefing. I'm going to go over every single option with the General Assembly that is available to them. And certainly I will at some point weigh in terms of what my individual recommendation is. But I think what I owe the General Assembly, what I owe Senator Gordon, as well as the clerks that are going to be there tomorrow, is walking through every option. And so I will reserve that for tomorrow.
What will happen to counties if they go forward with a request for the appeal request to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, I think the question is can they come up with not simply upgrades, but are there workarounds that would satisfy the security requirements that are set forth in state law and in the court order? And so I'm not going to speculate on that until I see if, in fact, they come up with something and present it to me. Yes. Well, I think you'd have to, so let's see, on the DRE side, we have Sequoia, and we have ES&S, and so I think you just have to add up, and we could certainly, get back to you, to say, you have to look at the population of those respective counties relative to the rest of the state. So you are talking about some counties with some fairly significant populations, when it's, you've got Arapahoe County, Elbert County, you've got Denver, you've got Jefferson, and you've got Mesa County. Did I leave anybody out on Sequoia?
Pueblo.
And Pueblo County. So those are fairly significant counties.
Do you think that public interest groups might still file lawsuits because some of the voting systems still are certified?
I'm not going to speculate on whether they're going to be sued or not. I think that you could probably talk to some folks after this meeting. They'll tell you. Yeah.
I'm just going to follow up on a question. You talked about that you didn't want to speak to kind of the results of the past election, but in a way you kind of are by decertifying so many machines. Can you give the people out there who voted on these machines last year the feeling that their vote was A, counted, and B, that the machine was safe and wasn't tampered with? Can you give them that assurance?
Well, I think that we're only talking about, we're talking that I think the central issue in terms of accuracy is really I think the problems with the DREs were fundamentally security issues, and the problems with the optical scans were more to the accuracy question. And so, there are some issues here that need to be addressed. Now, when an election is below half a percentage point, there is an automatic recount. But I think you still, even in light of that, you're still going to have some accuracy issues. Am I correct in that, John? Yeah.
You were in one of those races.
I was in one of those races.
I'll ask her.
Ken, could you leave the room here? We're going to go over this in a minute.
Seriously, though, do you feel confident that you won your race? I mean, I'll just use you as an example. You won your race outright in light of what you found with these machines.
Well, I think you just have to mathematically look. I think it was over a percent in that particular race. And so, not all the machines in the state of Colorado have problems. I think we're talking about, Hart is predominantly smaller counties, with the exception of Boulder. And it's coming up here. It's coming here to take my place right now.
I'm going to work with Mike. We're going to move forward and make sure that the next election is done accurately. We're not looking backwards. I'm not.
But I think, obviously I would not have decertified this equipment if there weren't a question about the accuracy. No matter how small there is a problem, no matter how small, the fact is there is a problem with these machines. And I'm certainly looking forward to the vendors and the clerks, if they want to challenge these results, and if they feel that there are alternatives that could be, in fact, put in place that would certainly take care of my concerns.
Caitlin, since you're up there and Professor, with you, do you have a sense of what the legislature is going to want to do on this?
Well,
this is a total surprise, I wouldn't think.
Well, we
could move into the mic just.
Sure.
Mike Kaufman, Secretary of State, is going to come tomorrow to the Capitol, and we're going to have a hearing where we're going to be able to ask him questions. He's going to present possible options. So I don't think I should speculate today either without having had an opportunity to review the results and to hear from Secretary of State Kaufman tomorrow about what the possible options are.
Okay. Thank you.
Were you surprised by this? I mean, I know you had no choice but to go through this, but, going in versus where we are now.
Surprised, absolutely. I mean, I think that one thing that we will interesting that we will have the technical experts that did the audit of all of the tests and the subsequent results of those tests here to testify tomorrow to Senator Gordon's legislative working group. In part of that, I believe that they will state that if this wasn't the most thorough exam conducted by any state government on electronic voting, it's certainly up at the top. But it'd be interesting to hear their take on it tomorrow. What we have found in our research is that the federal certification process has been very weak to date. And so this has been a very extensive process, and I think that, quite frankly, I think that the results today will have national repercussions across this country.
Did the fact that Florida and California and Ohio have also done similar things, did that weigh into your decision at all? The precedent from those large states with very important electoral states?
No, I actually had no impact because of the fact that this process was really predetermined by state law and by a court decision. The state law was enacted in 2004, and the court decision came about in 2006.
Ohio Secretary of State last week reached much the same conclusion, but she also decertified some of the premier machines. Mm-hmm. How confident are you in Colorado's process versus Ohio, Wisconsin?
I'm pretty confident. I'm confident. And one thing that we did when we certified is with conditions. So there are a series of conditions that are posted on our website that they do have to meet. In fact, I think that most of the systems that were certified with conditions, so that they were found to be some problems, but that they fit within the definition of substantial compliance.
So what is the timeline, the timeline on this that you need to say this is good, this is bad, it's a go, it's a not go, before, for instance, primary elections?
Well, my work is done right now.
Okay.
It's a question of whether or not that there are subsequent actions taken by the vendors and the clerks.
But if they come back to be recertified.
I think we can deal with this in a very expeditious manner. I mean, they're essentially, I just have to give public notice of the meeting. But that can be done in a fairly short time frame because the public has a right in the event that a decertification decision is coming before me for a reversal, that the public has a right to comment on that. So we have to notify the public of the hearing. But certainly, I can be ready to move at any time. And I would hope that if a vendor or a clerk is going to appeal, is going to go through the statutory process that is called request for reconsideration, that is in fact done before the start of the legislative session, so that we complete this before the 9th of January, so that the General Assembly knows going in what the variables are. So I want to certainly encourage them to move as fast as they possibly can, because I will move and my staff will move as fast as we can to bring the situation to a close.
Yeah.
Well, there are conditions that we feel that certainly they're capable of doing in terms of maybe addressing our security concerns. And so I think that they're all listed on our website, and they're a fairly extensive list, as I understand it, of conditions that they would be required to meet. Certainly if they cannot, that would be tantamount to a decertification, but I believe that they can meet all those conditions. There were no discrepancies. Yes.
Is it accurate to say that the presidential election will be done, conducted in a much different way than November 2006?
Yes, absolutely. I think that on a separate note, we've got the election watch program that has been ongoing, where we've worked with counties. I believe that the counties on the program. First of all, one county was taken off. Pueblo was taken off of the program, and it was the only county that was put on that was subsequently taken off because we were able to. Their issue was they violated the law related to signature verification of the absentee ballots, and so we were able to tell in this election, send monitors in there that they did a very good job of that. So then they were off the watch program. We still have Montrose, Routt County, Denver County, and Douglas County on the Election Watch program, mostly for some violations of law, but mostly for mismanagement issues that were so extensive that they were essentially disenfranchised some voters by virtue of, in some counties, you had four-hour waits to vote. So we've been working with those counties. And certainly we will be monitoring their progress during this general election. If, in fact, they fail to mitigate those issues to a substantial degree, then I will seek court-ordered supervision of their elections as allowed under the law.
But in terms of the extent of use of electronic voting machines, for next year it could be much less.
Well, this is, I will lay all those options out tomorrow that will be available to the General Assembly.
I think what jumps to everybody's mind is this talk about all mail ballots and all of that. I mean, can you still rule that out, at least as far as you're concerned?
I'm going to lay out those options tomorrow.
Mike, tell us again, you're surrounded by boxes, binders. What is this stuff?
Well, essentially, this is what this demonstrates is that the amount of work really that's gone into this process where all four vendors, on their equipment, you've got over 3,000 tests on each vendor with about over 40,000 pages of documentation on those tests. And so I think we've certainly have, again, this has been a very extensive process. I want to thank you so much for coming today. And tomorrow we'll be at the Capitol at 9 o'clock. That I will commence briefings to Senator Gordon's legislative group.
Well, here's the thing.